I'd like to continue with Psalm 23 this evening, brothers and sisters, and in particular that we look at verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And as the Lord's people, we know that we're called to be holy. We know that we are to obey the commandments of the Lord. We know that we should devote our whole lives to Jesus Christ. We know that we're to progressively grow in every part of our life to resemble more and more of the Lord Jesus. We know that we're called to put to death what's sinful in us, what's of our past. We're to be done with sin completely. And that requires self-denial, sacrifice, hard work. And this ongoing change in our lives is what we often call sanctification. Our sanctification. And that comes from the Latin word for holy, sanctus. We are to be holy as God is holy, and we know this. But what I want to consider tonight is that this is what verse 3 speaks about in a comprehensive way. The Lord's work sanctifying us. But the key thing I hope that we can grab hold of is this verse shows us what a joyful, what a positive, what a grace-filled thing this is, our sanctification. This work of learning to obey God and serve him is not some horrible, boring slog. This is not a sad thing or a drudgery. It's liberating. It's restorative. It's a glorious thing. It's to become truly human. And I'm sure you will have encountered this. Lots of non-Christians, maybe some believers too, really do think that being a Christian is some joyless, miserable thing. There's a lot of hard to follow rules. You're missing out on life's happiness. Following Christ is restrictive. It's a chore. If you choose to live for Christ, you're missing out. But if you hear this verse, you'll see that that is totally wrong. That is entirely false. And that to be sanctified is a joyful, peaceful, wonderful thing. So the first thing we should notice that the verse says is, who is working to change us? Who is working in our sanctification? And it says, he leads me. He restores. So first and foremost, this work of sanctification is something the Lord does. It is him working in us. His doing, his grace. Now, as we work out what he gives us, that'll mean we work hard and we must listen and obey. But it all flows out of him first working in us and through us, every step of the way. And you'll know those well-known words in Philippians chapter 2. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now, is there anything more encouraging than to understand that as a Christian? When sometimes you might be discouraged about the sins in your life, or that you're not what you would want to be as a Christian, there is divine power, the power of God working in you, Christian, to make you holy. He leads, he guides, he instigates the work of holiness. When the Holy Spirit is sent to live in you, and he plants new desires in you, and he suppresses, a bit like cutting a plant off at the root so it starts to wither. He suppresses sinful desires. And he guides us through the word and empowers us and sustains us. And even providentially, everything is ordered in your life as a Christian by God to work towards this end, to bring you to be holy. So isn't it just the most wonderful thought? God is working in us this holiness. And maybe that's the key to growing in holiness. to forget about yourself, to not think of yourself, but to steadfastly fix your thoughts on the Lord and to trust in him and his power. I mean, this verse, it's all about him and his work. It's not about us. So if I could put it this way, think more of a telescope than a thermometer. As Christians, we can get into this bad habit of always taking our own temperature and be overly scrupulous and feel so down about ourselves, always looking at ourselves and seeing how sinful we are, using that spiritual thermometer too much. But we should spend more time looking up at the wonder of the stars, the wonder of God's love for us, the wonder of his promise, the wonder that he's going to make us shine like the stars. He's going to make us holy. He'll complete this good work that he started. And what is this work that God is going to do in you? He restores our souls. Now that word soul in our Bible is a Hebrew word, nefesh. And it's difficult to capture what it means in English. It means life. It means the real essence of a person. A person's heart and mind. What makes them who they are. And so in a way it's the whole of a person. Because it's who they are at heart, deep down. The life within a person. So this is a wonderful promise. In sanctification, the Lord is healing us. He's restoring us. He's bringing us to life as he heals our souls. He's renewing and making good our whole person and self. He's making us truly human. What it truly means to be alive. Another way of saying that is he's come to give us life, life in all its fullness, and to renew the image of God in you. There's a really significant church father named Irenaeus, and there's a phrase, it's famous in one of his writings that really captures this. He says, "The glory of God is seen in man fully alive." The glory of God is seen in man fully alive. God's glorified by healing and restoring us to be fully alive as we were meant to be at creation. Fully alive to God. More alive, more free, the best version of us. And I just wonder, have you thought about sanctification like that? In this positive spirit, it's God healing you from sin, setting you free to be what you're meant to be in his image, to be fully human, and an image bearer of God to showcase his glory. Again, you see how positive, how amazing this work of sanctification is. He renews our life. So let me just put that point this way. There's only ever been, in the whole history of the world, three truly complete human beings. And all the rest of us are, in a sense, subhuman, falling short of what God meant man to be. Now, those three people are Adam and Eve before the fall, before they sinned and were corrupted. And, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is and was without sin, the perfect holy man. And since the fall, he's the only true man, so to speak, and the complete man. And he's the most free, the most able, the most happy, the most holy, the perfect man who shows us what it is to be human. So sanctification is it's no drudgery. It's not about losing something. It's about gaining. It's about becoming. It's the most wonderful thing. He restores our life. So again, brothers and sisters, when it feels hard and when you're discouraged, he is restoring your soul. as Christians, well, it's a bit like you are a beautiful painting that over the years has become covered in dust and dirt and grease and grime. And the Lord is a great restorer, cleaning off the muck so the bright colours come through, the beauty of his image comes through. He restores my soul. That's sanctification. But then look with me at another encouragement in this verse. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. Now, as with everything in this psalm, there's rich depths to the picture, to the metaphors that are used. But again, the point is the Lord's work of sanctification is a blessing for our good. Now, something that we probably miss about this verse is, well, we miss how wonderful this is because we live in a time today when all our roads and paths that we use every day are laid out for us. We've got nice tarmac roads, despite the potholes. We've got paved streets. We've got maps and Google and sat-navs. It's very easy, actually, to follow the route to wherever you want to go. But it was nothing like that in the ancient world, in biblical times, when David is writing Psalm 23. Now, yes, there were roads and paths in cities and towns, but in between, there are vast stretches of wilderness. And even where there's established routes, trade routes, it's not as if they are nicely laid out tarmac roads. If you're going to travel, you're going to face lots of dangers. Most of all, that you'll get lost. A road or a path laid out disappears quickly in a flood or a storm. Bandits and thieves are going to watch the main routes, so you'll try and go off the beaten path. It would have been so hard to navigate your way. There might be no path at all to follow. And the point, of course, is that life is like that. How do you know how to live? It's not like as you're growing up, there's some clear path that's laid out for you to follow with signposts telling you what's coming up and how everything's going to be. When you've got big decisions to make, how do you know the right, the wise, the good thing to do? There's so many paths you could take in life. How do you find the way? Well, the good news is the work of sanctification is the Lord has laid out paths of righteousness to follow. Paths we can walk on and that will guide us and he'll lead us on them. I mean, of course, in the scriptures, we have the commandments. We have the examples to follow. We've got a path set out for us, the narrow way of holiness that leads to eternal life. And it's a path that he's trod before us to follow in his footsteps. You see, there's actually a bit of a debate about how to translate this verse and the word paths in particular. And some say it should be translated tracks, that the Lord has made tracks like footsteps for us to follow. So the Lord Jesus has gone before us. He's done it. He's lived it. Not only has he accomplished righteousness for us to clothe us with it, but he's laid out the example for us, just as shepherds go before the sheep. And he leads us in this. Again, he's a good shepherd. He's gentle with us. He's patient with us. It doesn't say he drives us on paths of righteousness or forces us on paths of righteousness. But in love, he leads us along and we know the way to go. And then one last encouragement is he does all of this for his own name's sake. And so Christian, he is sanctifying you for his glory, for his own name's sake. That the Lord has invested in you and in this work. He's put his name to it. His reputation is in the balance. that he's promised to make you holy. And his name is put to that. Now, we know that's true just day to day, don't we? Because when non-Christians look at us and see how we're living, that will shape what they think of God and of Christ. We must be holy because people are going to form their opinion of God by watching how we are living. But in a far greater sense, in the encouraging sense it's meant here, is to reassure you, the Lord will complete the work. He will make you holy. He will destroy all your sin for his name's sake. He's not going to leave you half finished. Because he loves his own name. He loves his glory. He will protect it. So he will see the work done. To honor his own name, he will finish the work of making you holy. If I could give you a simple picture that's been on my mind a lot this week. You know, we're having the floors redone. And the workman who's come has done this thorough job. That instead of just laying things down on the surface, he's gone down deep and found where some old boards underneath were wrong and weren't laid right in the beginning, and some of them had gone a bit rotten. And at great trouble, he's gone that extra mile of replacing even the underneath to really put it right. And I thought to myself, what a great picture of sanctification. God's not here to do a surface work on us, to just skim over things. But he's going to get down deep into our hearts, restore our souls, make us holy, lead us on the paths of righteousness, and for his name's sake, he will finish it. So brothers and sisters, when you find it hard to obey, and when the Christian life is hard and calls for self-denial, or when you're discouraged about yourself, or when you're lonely because everything around you is full of sin, I want you to be encouraged by the promise in this verse that the Lord is healing you, he is making you alive, he will guide you, and he will make you holy. And this is a joyful and a wonderful thing. Amen.